This next item is the quest for equal access, innovating blind-centered maps and diagrams. One critical area of access to information that we are concerned about is maps and diagrams. But oftentimes, most people have simply decided that they already know that making maps and diagrams accessible to blind people is too hard, so they haven't worked on it. Our next presenter decided that if maps and diagrams, if no one was going to work on methods for making them available so he could use them, he will just work it out himself. And so he is doing that as a blind person who is a software engineer. He has started his own company called XR Navigation, and he is at the forefront of finding innovative ways to get access to this vital data. He's also a PhD candidate at the Georgia Institute of Technology. You should know that he received an NFB scholarship in 2012, so he meets a high standard. And his work is one of the tools that public entities might use to fulfill the resolution that was passed at our convention last year regarding access to maps by higher education institutions and other entities. He's here on this stage for the first time, but he's no stranger to the Federation, and in fact, we were aware of his efforts to innovate in mapping, so the Federation made a strategic contribution to help him with the early stage work of his mapping project. For the first time in his capacity as Chief Executive Officer of XR Navigation, please welcome Brandon Biggs.
Get out the map, get out the map, and lay your finger anywhere down. Leave the finger into those we pass on our way out of town. We'll drink the water, there seems to be something ailing everyone.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I want to start by telling a story that demonstrates why accessible digital maps and spatial diagrams are important. You smell the smoke and pull up the wildfire evacuation map, and your screen reader reads, map region, graphic clickable, blank. If there is an accessible version, it's a table with one column saying the name of the fire and another column with a level of containment, which is not particularly helpful in this case. Traditional methods of making digital maps and spatial diagrams accessible is through using turn-by-turn directions, nearby address searches, simple alternate text, and tables. The problem is that these completely remove the spatial information that makes something like a map a map. I want to demonstrate the magnitude of this problem. Sighted people view, on average, 300 maps a year. This is just maps, not any other types of spatial diagrams. Contrast that with blind people, who, on average, view less than one. This is the massive gap that we're trying to close with our tool, Audium. It's the first digital map and spatial diagram tool that everyone can use. The low vision experience for sighted and low vision users allows you to zoom in up to 200% without squashing interface elements, adjust the border width of features to make them easier to see, and hear the text labels read out in speech. The non-visual experience is like a video game, or an audio game for those who know what I'm talking about, where users hear the name and sound of objects as they move a character around the map. Like this. Play sound file one.
First tier section in Nixon Hall. First ramp, trash cans along the ramp. Second row table, west in Nixon Hall.
Audium is fully usable visually, auditorily, and through what we call interactive alt text that can be read on a Braille display. We're also working with the companies producing the full-page Braille displays so that you can read the tactile graphics on those as well. I like to split navigation tools into two different categories: orientation tools and mobility tools. The tools that we're used to, such as Good Maps and Blind Square, are mobility tools. And those are used to get you from point A to point B. Orientation tools are tactile maps, and they help you build an understanding of a space before you actually go. Audium is a digital orientation tool. This next example is an indoor map that might be familiar to some folks, except without the extremely long elevator wait. Play sound file
two. This is a demo of the multi-level audio building experience at the New Orleans Marriott. I'm currently at the Canal Street entrance, and I want to go to the Grand Ballroom. The first thing I'm going to do is open up a list of all the objects on this map by pressing the M key for menu.
M. Filter objects submenu 2 of 202.
And I'm going to use Control F to find Grand Ballroom.
Control F. Find edit selected Grand. Enter. Result 2 of 3. Grand Ballroom. Acadia Ballroom. Third floor. Room. Is 13.
And it tells me it's on the third floor. So I'm going to escape out of this.
Escape. Audio map.
And open up the menu of only the objects on this floor by pressing Shift M.
Filter objects submenu 2 of 42.
And find an elevator.
E. 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 Elevator. First floor.
And get directions to it.
Go 2 of 6.
I hit enter.
D. Directions submenu 5 of 6. Enter. Elevator. First floor is 13 steps left and 7 steps up.
And now I'm going to use my arrow keys to move around the map. Every arrow press moves me 1 meter by default, and I can change that by pressing the dash and the equals key. I'm going to go left first.
Left arrow. Canal Street entrance exit. First floor. Left arrow. Bumped into wall.
So I hit the wall, and I'm going to go up.
Up arrow, walkway, first floor, third, left arrow, walkway, left arrow, walkway, left arrow, bumped into wall.
And I'm going to use a trailing technique similar to what I would do with my cane to see if I can continue up and to the left.
Up arrow, walkway, left arrow, bumped into wall. Up arrow, walkway, left arrow, bumped into wall. Up arrow, walkway, left arrow, walkway, left arrow, walkway, left arrow. Quarter tower elevator lobby.
And I'm going to hit the D key to see where that elevator is now.
D, elevator, first floor, is 3 steps up. Up arrow, bumped into wall. First, left arrow, door. Up arrow, elevator, first floor.
And I'm going to use the levels menu by pressing L.
L, first floor lobby radio button checked 1 of 3.
To get to the third floor.
Down arrow, second floor radio button checked. Down arrow, third floor, enter, application.
And that switched all the features to the third floor, so I'm going to press the Shift M key to open up all the objects on this current floor.
Filter objects submenu 2 of 41.
I'm gonna find the Grand Ballroom.
G, Grand Ballroom. Go 2 of 6.
And get directions.
D, directions. Enter, Grand Ballroom, Acadia Ballroom, third floor, room, is 2 steps up.
And if I go up.
Up arrow, bumped into wall.
There's a wall, so I'm gonna go down.
Down arrow, quarter tower elevator lobby.
And I'm in the elevator lobby, so I'm gonna go left.
Left arrow, quarter tower left arrow, Acadia Ballroom foyer, third.
And I'm gonna go up.
Up arrow, Acadia Ball, up arrow, bumped into wall. Left arrow, Acadia Ballroom Foyer. Up arrow, Acadia Ball, up arrow, Grand Ballroom.
And we made it to the Grand Ballroom.
There are a lot of walls in this hotel. These types of maps are useful for orienting to airport terminals. I don't know if anybody has any issues with those. Stadiums. Understanding and selecting where you want to sit on an airplane. And orienting to the emergency evacuation maps that are so important. They are on every single room door in this building. So that is what Audium can make usable. One of the clients that we recently worked with was the Vision Rehabilitation and Assistive Technology Expo. And this team organizing the expo is primarily blind. And before working with us, they had to have a transcriber transcribe everything into Braille, which was quite slow and cumbersome. Every time they would need to make a change, they would need the transcriber to transcribe the new change, emboss it, and mail it to all the different committee members. But with Audium, every person was able to use and view the map in Braille, in audio, and visually, depending on what they desired. This allowed, and you can update the map virtually overnight. This allowed the team to competently review and approve the exhibit hall layout. They then made that map available to all their attendees, and over 2,000 people were able to view and did view the map. This next example is a neighborhood map, and you can view a neighborhood map for free on our website by going to audium.net, that's audiom.net, and I'll say that a little later as well, and entering in any address in the world, and it'll pull up a map exactly like the one you're gonna hear right now.
Is an Audium OpenStreetMap neighborhood map of the National Federation of the Blind Conference in New Orleans. I am currently on the Sheraton Hotel, and I want to go to the New Orleans Marriott. I am going to start by moving my character around the map, 1 meter each arrow press. And that's because I have my step size set to 1 meter. I can adjust that by pressing the dash and the equals key and change it to whatever I want it to be. I'm going to press the up arrow.
Up arrow, Sheraton New Orleans Hotel 49 level building at 500 Canal Street, 146 meters tall, hotel 210.7.
And what that told us was the name of the object that we're on, which is the Sheraton Hotel. We learned its address, how tall it was, and then we heard some coordinates that tell us where we are on the map. We also heard a short sound representing the hotel. I'm going to press up arrow one more time.
Up arrow, empty space, 210 points.
And what that told us is that we are now off the hotel in empty space. And empty space just means that there's no data for that location. There's a lot of empty space on maps. So we have a key command, control up arrow, that will jump us to the next object in that direction, so that you can avoid most of the empty space.
Control up arrow, jumped 5 meters north to paving stones, sidewalk.
Now we're on the sidewalk that's to the north. So north is what you're default facing when you start an Audium map. And I'm going to orient myself to this sidewalk. So not all sidewalks go east and west. So let's see what this one goes.
Oh, orienting to southeast selected paving stones.
All right, so go southeast to northwest. And now I am going to open up a list of all the objects on the menu by pressing the M key.
M. Filter objects submenu 2 of 880.
There are 880 objects in this menu, and I'm going to down arrow through them.
Down arrow, paving stones, sidewalk, is right here. Down arrow, Sheraton New Orleans Hotel 49 level building at 500 Canal Street, 146 meters tall. Hotel, is 5 step right and down arrow, Canal Street 4 lanes asphalt, main road.
And so we can tell that the hotel is to our right and the Canal Street is to our left. Now I'm going to press the N key to go and find the New Orleans Marriott.
N, Norta 114 General de Gaulle Sullen, bus route.
And this is a bus route, and I'm going to keep pressing N.
N, Norta 100 Algiers out. N, Norta, N, New Orleans Marriott 5 level.
And there we go. Now I'm going to hit enter and get directions.
Enter. Go to of 6. D. Directions. Enter. New Orleans Marriott 5 level building at 555 Canal Street. Hotel is 42 step left. Application.
So the New Orleans is 42 steps left. And we can jump to the left to see what is to the left, although we heard that it's Canal Street, so let's verify.
Control left arrow. Jump 10 meters northeast to Canal Street, 4 lane.
Yep. Canal Street is to our left. I'm going to press go back to the sidewalk.
Control right arrow. Jump 10 meters southwest to paving stones.
Now I'm going to move along this sidewalk. I can either repeatedly press the up arrow or hold the up arrow down and move along step by step, or I can press the control up arrow to move to the next object along the sidewalk, which is what I'm going to do.
Control up arrow. Jump 29 meters southeast to paving stones, service road, and paving stones, sidewalk.
So there's a service road that we need to cross after the Marriott, between the Marriott and the crosswalk.
Control up arrow. Jump 39 meters southeast to asphalt zebra marked. Pedestrian crossing. Asphalt zebra marked.
And now we're at the pedestrian crossing, which is the crosswalk on the corner. So I'm going to press the left arrow since we know that Canal Street is to our left.
Left arrow. Asphalt zebra marked. Pedestrian crossing.
And orient to this crosswalk.
Oh, orienting to northeast selected asphalt zebra.
And now I'm going to press the control up arrow to move across this street.
Control up arrow. Jump 8 meters northeast to traffic signals. Traffic signal.
All right, so we landed on the light, which is typically in the center of the crosswalk. And now I'm going to press the up arrow.
Up arrow, South Clay.
And there is no crosswalk underneath us, so that means that the crosswalk turns a little bit. So I can press the left or the right arrow key to figure out where it went. So I'm going to press the left arrow.
Left arrow, South Claiborne front.
And we're back on the pedestrian crossing. I didn't let it read out all the different bus routes because bus routes are very long. And I heard the sound of the pedestrian crossing, so I know that I'm back on it. I'm going to press the control up arrow.
Control up arrow. Jump 9 meters northeast to crossing the tracks. Asphalt.
So there's something here called crossing the tracks. And so if I press the right arrow.
Right arrow. Canal Street streetcar. Left arrow.
And we heard that there is a streetcar track that we are crossing. So I'm going to press the control up arrow one more time.
Control up arrow. Jump 3 meters northeast to crossing the tracks.
Oh, there's another crossing the tracks. So I'm going to continue forward.
Control up arrow. Jump 12 meters northeast to traffic signals.
And we're back. There's another light. And then I'm going to continue forward.
Control up arrow. Jump 7 meters northeast to paved sidewalk.
And we're back on the sidewalk. So what we heard there was there are two lights and two track crossings that we need to do in order to cross Canal Street. Now I'm going to press the O key to orient to the sidewalk.
O, orienting to southeast selected paved.
And we are oriented southeast, and so I'm going to get directions now to the Marriott.
D, New Orleans Marriott 5 level building at 555 Canal Street. Hotel is 6 step left and 32 step down.
And so it's down. I'm going to turn around 180 degrees by pressing the shift down arrow key.
Shift down arrow, northwest.
And I'm going to move along this sidewalk by pressing the control up arrow.
Control up arrow. Jump 24 meters northwest to paved sidewalk and Dorsair Street, one-way service road.
So there is another crosswalk that we need to go. It's more like a service road driveway. We need to cross that street, so it's something to be aware of.
Control up arrow. Jump 31 meters northwest to paved sidewalk and New Orleans Marriott 5 level building at 5.
And we made it to the Marriott.
There's a reason why we did the other direction going between the two hotels, because this one had a bunch of crosswalks. But it would have been nice to have known, you know, before coming here that there was all those complicated intersections. But that's what Audium allows you to do, is explore all this information that's there on the map before actually going, which gives you a lot of confidence when you're actually moving from point A to point B. And you don't actually need Google Maps or any of those turn-by-turn directions tools if you have a map. This type of tool is useful for understanding where polling locations are if you would like to know where to vote, understanding the trails in a park if you'd like to go hiking, learning where your classrooms are on a university campus, and understanding the zoning requirements in a city if you'd like to build an apartment building. This next example is what we call a thematic map, and it's our final example. And these types of maps have some kind of data overlaid on top of the geographic information. Go ahead and play the sound file four.
The non-visual version of Audium has two modes, a tabular view and a geographic view. The tabular view
table
has a row for each of the features on the map and a column for each of the properties associated with those features. We find a feature of interest.
Down arrow, Montana row header row two name column, down arrow, Alaska row header, down arrow, North Dakota row header.
And a column of interest.
Right arrow, 292,604 North Dakota row four total cases column two. Right arrow, 383,964 North Dakota row four cases per 1,000,000.
And what we heard there was a pitch that's relative to the other pitches in the column, so we can tell that North Dakota has a higher number of cases per 1,000,000 than the other rows. Now I'm going to press enter.
Alert maps.
And that jumped me to the center of North Dakota and switched the statistic on the map to cases per 1,000,000. Now I'm going to use my arrow keys to move around the map, 50 kilometers each arrow press, and I'm going to use a technique called weaving to explore the border of North Dakota.
Right arrow, North Dakota, 383,964 cases per 1,000,000. Right arrow, North Dakota, right arrow, Minnesota, 322,284 cases, down arrow, Minnesota, left arrow, down arrow, South Dakota, 319,779 cases per left arrow, South Dakota, up, left, down, left, up, left, down, left, up, left, down, left arrow, Montana, 312,280 cases, up, right, up, left, up, right, up arrow, empty space, right arrow, empty, down, right, up, right, down, right, up, down, right, up, down, right, arrow, up, right, down, arrow, left, arrow, down, right, down, left, arrow, down, arrow, south.
And what we got there was the shape, orientation, and size of North Dakota, and the distance, direction, orientation, and general layout of all the features bordering North Dakota. We also learned that Minnesota has the highest number of cases per 1,000,000 bordering North Dakota, but North Dakota has the highest number of cases per 1,000,000 out of all the features we explored.
Definitely takes a little bit of getting used to understand how to go and trace around these objects, but this type of map is really useful for understanding weather information, where wildfires are, temperature information, air quality, and understanding what gerrymandering is, and live election results, which is what we did this last year for the US presidential 2024 election. Audium also shows different types of spatial diagrams, such as anatomical, meteorological, circuit board diagrams. Audium also allows blind people to independently draw and create their own shapes and digital diagrams. We have performed over 13 academic studies on over 150 blind and 40 sighted participants. And in our most recent evaluation, we compared the spatial knowledge understanding that people had after viewing a table, an audio map, and a visual map. And we found that tables communicate no spatial information, but there was no statistically significant difference between a visual map and an audio map. These results are extremely promising, and we're continuing to do research in this area. There are two major areas that Audium can contribute to around increasing independence in the blind society. First is with employment. Audium can allow blind people to independently perform tasks in over 1,000 professions in STEM specifically, such as epidemiology, oceanography, meteorology, cartography, and architecture. We do have a few blind people in these professions, but it's only one or two, and they will tell you that having access to be able to view and create digital diagrams is really important for their profession. The second is in allowing blind people to independently participate in civic engagement projects. In my city of Atlanta, Georgia, we have a transit authority that recently published a complete redesign of the bus routes around Atlanta. And they asked for public comment for that bus route redesign. Being someone who uses public transit for independent navigation, I decided I'd give my feedback. So I logged onto the website, went to the survey, and the very first item on that survey was a map that was completely blank. And every single question on that survey required the use of that map. So this meant that I was unable to provide my feedback. This happens all around the world. Blind people are unable to participate and give their voice to the civic institutions on civic projects that impact them the most. And this is what Audium can help with. When I've spoken to institutions about making their maps and diagrams accessible, they say, "You're the first person to have ever asked us about making these accessible, so it must not be important." When I ask how many people they would need to hear from in order to make it important, they say, "One." Other than you. So, our vision is that all digital maps and spatial diagrams are usable to everyone. But we can't do this alone. We need your help. I want everyone to pull out your phone, plug in your headphones, and visit this link, audium.net/email. That's audio, M as in map, .net/email. And that will pull up a contact form with the top digital map tool providers and their contact information and draft emails, and a number of institutions that provide digital maps to the public. And I want you to send an email to an institution that resonates with you the most. If you have another institution or have a digital map or spatial diagram that you would like to use, our contact information is the second option on that contact form. So send us that information about that diagram or institution and we will help you make that usable. Digital map and spatial diagram accessibility is where audio description was in the 1970s, but we have one massive advantage. The Americans with Disabilities Act Title II regulations are going into effect next year, and this requires all digital content be made accessible, including maps and diagrams. So I would like everyone to join me in demanding that all public maps, digital maps, and spatial diagrams be made usable because it's your right. Thank you.